Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I am really behind this week. The week totally got away from me. That's why I'm just now getting around to recording on Friday afternoon. Today is Friday, May 12th, and so instead of doing this episode the way I have been doing it in four parts, I'm going to go back to the way I was doing it previously, which is to do it in two parts. So today's episode will be parts one and two, the first two assigned lectionary readings for the week of May 7th, which is the fourth Sunday in Easter, fourth Sunday of Easter. I can't believe we are that far into the Easter season already. And then tomorrow's episode will be the second two readings for that same week, for this same week, obviously. So again, thank you for joining me. I wonder where you have seen resurrection this week, where you have seen it today. And my resurrection sighting, my sighting of new life, is actually literal new life today. I am so happy. A very dear friend of mine had her second baby boy today. He was born at 4 a.m. this morning, I believe, 8 pounds, 11 ounces, 21 inches long, and he and mom are both doing well. So I'm so happy for her. I'm so excited for their family, for his big brother, for their new journey together as they explore this new member of their family and how they are now a family of four. I won't get to see him for a while. They're in Idaho and I'm in California, so I'm not sure when I will be able to see him. But this is when I am so grateful for social media, because I've already seen pictures of him on Facebook and he is beautiful. He has a whole head of blonde hair, which, you know, most babies who come out with a whole head of hair, it's often darker hair. You don't get that blonde, you know, he's got a lot of hair and it's blonde. He's so sweet. So I am very grateful for his arrival. I'm grateful for his health and the health of his mom. And I will be praying for him and his parents and his older brother as they lean into this new phase of their life as a family. So that's my sign of new life today, literal new life in the form of a healthy baby boy. So thank God for that. And what a wonderful Mother's Day present for my dear friend. So as I said, we will be doing the first two parts of the episode today. So that is readings from Acts chapter 2 and Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is probably very familiar to most of you. Even people who aren't as familiar with the Bible often know Psalm 23, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But we're going to start with the first assigned lectionary reading for this week. It is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad, generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So again, that is from the second chapter of Acts, verses 42 through 47, and that is our first lectionary reading for today, or for this week, excuse me, the week of May 7th, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And We are continuing this story of the early church. If you have listened to the last couple of weeks, we've been in Acts throughout that time, and we have been listening to parts of Peter's Pentecost sermon, the sermon that inspired 3,000 of his listeners to be baptized at the end of it, and then they took what they had learned about Jesus, about a new way of being in relationship with God, back to their home cities and towns, back to their communities, back to their families, and this was the beginning of the spread of the gospel. And as I said, this is coming immediately after that Pentecost narrative. So these verses actually serve to function both as a summary of that Pentecost story as well as a turning towards the ministry of the church in Jerusalem and beyond, because then the people took Peter's sermon back home with them. It is the immediate consequences of that sermon, which was the repentance and baptism of those who heard Peter's words. Those who heard Peter's words were Jewish. Most of them were there for the festival of Pentecost. So Gentiles come later, but they are also in the book of Acts. And we do see them, as we've talked about some with the other readings in 1 Peter that we've been reading these past couple of weeks. You see the Gentiles in some of those readings, so a little further in the history of the church. So I'm wondering what strikes you from this reading. Where do you see the good news in this reading? What makes you think resurrection or Easter from this reading? Is there anything that jumps out at you that makes you say, yeah, that makes sense. I understand why we're reading that in the season of Easter. And for me, I think it's all these signs of community, all these signs of family. This is Acts, not 1 Peter, but since we've been talking about 1 Peter, there's all of that talk about unity, there's all of that talk about family, and how they are new children of God, a new family as children of God, that they have been united together in that family of God through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And I see that here in this reading. And you can also see how it is the transition between Peter's Pentecost sermon and then the beginnings of the new church, because we jump in, and again, we jump in with a word, they, which isn't very descriptive, but those who heard Peter's teachings, those who then went back to their own communities, those who were new followers of Christ. So those are the they referenced here in this first verse of our reading. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so here we get, again, that breaking of bread that we saw last week in the Emmaus text, right? The breaking of bread is how those two men on the road, Cleopas and his companion, eventually recognized that it was Jesus who had been walking with them, who had been sharing scripture with them all day and had been telling them really what they already knew about Jesus, but just reminding them what's in the scriptures about the Messiah and how all of those scriptures had come to pass in the events of those last 3 days in Jerusalem when Jesus had been betrayed and crucified, but then had been risen again. So this talks about this new church, the way they were living together, and they were living together because they had all things in common. So the early church really believed that they were a unit, a family. So they lived together, they had all things in common. Of course, this wasn't always perfect. If you read any of the epistles, those letters written by Paul, written by Peter, written by whomever it is in the New Testament, they're always addressing some kind of issue that has come up in these early churches. Because, of course, the early churches, just like our churches now, had their, you know, they were made up of people, right? And people are not perfect. I'm so sorry to break that news to you. I'm sure you're shocked, right? People aren't perfect. So we have them trying, though. They are trying to create this community, one of unity, where they share all things in common, where they share with each other. But not only that, they share with those, even those outside the community, who are in need. They are really taking to heart Peter's words that Jesus had spoken to Peter, and then Peter passes on to them. Loving your neighbor, caring for those in your midst who don't have as much, etc. So they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And then it says, day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who are being saved. So you really do see how this is a pivot point in the story of Acts. Between Peter's words on Pentecost and then moving into the new church, we see how all of those things are moving forward. So we see the new church being formed. We see what they are trying to do, how they are trying to act out what they heard, how they are trying to carry on the work of Jesus, how they are trying to share God's love with each other in this new community. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this book, this text from the book of Acts, chapter 2, but we are going to take our first break, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the first of the four assigned lectionary texts, for this week, the week of May 7th, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And the first of those texts is from Acts chapter 2, the pivot point between Peter's Pentecost sermon and the beginnings of the new church, how people took what they had heard Peter say, what they had heard the other apostles say, and really were trying to take those words to heart. We're trying to create these new communities. They might not have seen themselves exactly as a new church yet, just a Jewish community who were trying to live in this way, incorporating the words of the Messiah, the actions of the Messiah into this new community that they had created. So I was reading some commentary, of course, on this text, and this commentary comes from Margaret Amer, Associate Professor of New Testament at Austin Seminary in Austin, Texas. And something that I really appreciated about what she said is this. She said that there's a Greek word in these texts, that in these verses, and remember it's only 42 through 47, so five verses, not very long, and there's a Greek verb that rarely occurs in the New Testament, she says, but it's used twice here in these five verses. So that's something to pay attention to when there's a word that's used, you know, not very often in the New Testament or in the Bible as a whole, and then it pops up twice in such a limited space. You really want to pay attention to words like that. The Greek verb is prokartario, and as she says, Luke uses it twice in this passage. She says that the verb can be glossed as a description of attachment or persistence. Luke uses this verb in verse 42 and again in verse 46. So she says that Luke's use of this verb twice in just a short space of time really underscores his depiction of unity, of commitment and commonality among the earliest church. Luke speaks of the earliest church as holding fast or dedicating themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the temple. And you can really see that, I think, in these short verses, how they are very, very much trying to create this new community. They're trying to live as they believe they have been taught. They are trying to continue the work of Christ, continue the work of the apostles. And she says, for the earliest church community, the apostles came de facto religio-political leaders, taking the place normally ceded to the Sanhedrin leaders in Acts. So the leaders in the Jewish church now, they are looking more toward the apostles as their leaders in this new church. She says, beyond Peter's sermon, Luke does not tell us what the apostles might have been teaching, when or in what format, whether privately or in public. However, this teaching leads the newly converted to dedicated and ongoing actions of attention to the apostles' teaching, living in community, breaking of bread, and prayers. So pretty simple, right? Just four different things: teaching, living in community, breaking of bread and prayers. And that is kind of the basis, you know, that whatever else your tradition might believe or do, those are kind of the basis of all of our lives of faith, right? In theory, teaching, whether you are doing the teaching or you are doing the learning, either way, we learn from each other all the time. We listen to one another. We learn from others who have studied more than we, or we learn from others who have had experience of Christ in their lives, of God in their lives, and we learn from one another. We do still live in community. It might not be as intentional of a community as what's described here in Luke, but we still live in communities. We live in secular communities as well as religious communities. Our churches are our religious communities. It may be a Bible study. It may be a small group. It may be, you know, there's all kinds of community. It doesn't just have to be one thing. And then we have the breaking of the bread. And that is not only the breaking of the bread at communion, but the breaking of bread of fellowship. So every time we eat with our communities, every time we eat with people, we are engaging in fellowship with them. We are engaging in community with them. We are creating unity by eating together. And then, of course, prayers. And that's one of the best things that we can do for everyone in our lives is to pray for them and to know that they are praying for us. It's just a wonderful feeling, isn't it? So I do want to touch on one more thing, and then we do have to move on to the psalm for today. But the commentator looks at the breaking of the bread, and she says that when Luke refers to the breaking of the bread, a ritual action can be assumed. She says the Greek word artos, or bread, only occurs five times in the Acts of the Apostles. So again, five times in this entire book. Pay attention to that. She says in each case, it seems to point to a ritual observance. The ritual was likely a precursor to the Lord's Supper practiced in contemporary church. For Luke, it seems one of the results of baptism is the communal partaking in the ritual feast of commemoration. However, she says, this bread breaking would have taken place in the context of a ritual meal. Meals such as these, hinted at by Luke, would have taken place in homes of wealthy patrons of the church. Their homes would have contained dining areas where the whole community would be able to then gather around at the table. So that's kind of going back to what I was saying, that breaking of bread both in community but also in fellowship with one another. So I sometimes think it would be kind of lovely if we still had that tradition of breaking bread together as part of a ritual meal. Obviously, a ritual meal we have in communion, but it's, you know, we go to the railing together, or however your tradition does communion. There's all kinds of ways to partake of communion. We don't have that connection with each other so much. It tends to be a little more individual when we go to communion, depending on how your tradition does it. But if you go and kneel at the altar, or if you go up to the pastor and the pastor gives you the bread and the wine, you're still sort of, you're with other people, but you're not sort of interacting with all of those people. And I really like this image of everyone around the table together, talking, laughing, engaging in fellowship, and then having the smaller ritual of communion, not smaller in the sense of lesser, but smaller just in the idea of the time. You know, a meal could be an hour, it could be 2 hours, and then the communion portion of it being this very important, very special part of the meal. So I want to do some more thinking on that, actually, and I might bring it up again, but I would encourage you to think about it as well. Think about how you see fellowship, how you see table fellowship. Does that ever influence how you think of communion? All of these things, you know, you can think of, you can take them into your daily lives. I love to have these things in the back of my head while I'm going through the rest of my day, because they're just sort of mulling around back there. I might not even realize that I'm thinking of them, but then, you know, later in the day, a day or two later, even months or years later, depending on how slow I'm processing, something will pop in there and I'll be like, oh, you know what? That makes sense. So I encourage you to think about that however you choose to. You know, it's not homework, right? I'm never giving you homework. I just like to throw out ideas there for you to ponder. So we are now going to move on to the second assigned reading for this week, and that is Psalm 23, which, as I said, is probably very familiar to a lot of people. But Psalm 23 is as followed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Again, that is Psalm 23, one of the shorter psalms that we have. It's only 6 verses, but very familiar to a lot of people. It's often read at funerals, and you can understand why. It's completely understandable why it would be read in the midst of this Easter season. I do tend to think of it in association with funerals simply because I've done so many funerals where this psalm has been read, or I've attended funerals where this psalm has been read, and I don't mean that to be sad or morbid or anything like that. You can just see why it's so beloved and why it would be read at funerals because of the comforting words and the comforting images that it depicts, the image of God being our shepherd, of God leading us, of God taking care of us, and of us being with God forever and ever. We are going to talk more about Psalm 23, but first we'll take our second break, and when we come back, we'll be concluding with Psalm 23. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We have now moved to the second assigned reading for this week of the fourth Sunday of Easter, and that assigned reading is Psalm 23, a psalm very familiar to many of us, a psalm often read at funerals, and is understandable because it does hold the promises of the resurrection, even though it is a psalm. The psalms are all from the Hebrew scriptures, and so they predate the actual resurrection of Christ. They still hold those promises within them. And I love all of the verses in this psalm. I love the imagery of a loving God that they give us, because they really do present, the psalmist is talking about the God who takes care of him. The Lord is my shepherd. And of course, a shepherd a shepherd is someone who takes care of the sheep. The shepherd finds the sheep safe pastures, green pastures. The shepherd finds the sheep good drinking water. But of course, it's a metaphorical shepherd, so those things are both literal and metaphorical. We are not sheep, so we do not need green pastures. We do still need good drinking water, of course, but it's a bigger picture. It is God who leads us. I shall not want. God restores our soul. He finds us safe passage. He finds us the things that we need in this life. And the psalmist's life is clearly not always easy, because there is this verse that is so very, very well known. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. And it really depends on your translation. Growing up, I memorized this as, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So the valley, the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, either way, even when we are walking in those dark times, even when we are facing death, whether of a physical or mental or spiritual nature, however that death might feel, we know that God is with us. So we have no reason to fear because God is with us. God comforts us. And this, you know, the continues that the psalmist has enemies, obviously, because it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies," which sounds kind of strange, but if you think about it, it's just one more way of looking at the way that God takes care of us. Even though we may have enemies, even though we may have people in our lives who wish us harm, God is still with us. And we get that imagery of fellowship again, of table fellowship, of God's promises present in the bread and the wine as we have from the New Testament, but also just God prepares a table. God's promises are with us, even in the midst of those who either are our enemies or feel like our enemies, those who wish us harm, those who seek to maybe, you know, they just seek to undermine us in whatever way it is, because enemies can take all different shapes and forms. They can be the actual enemy that we think of in terms of, you know, one side or the other, but they can be those people in our lives who bully us, who try to ruin our reputations for whatever reason, whether that reason is jealousy or vindictiveness. We all have people in our lives, and God is there with us. God walks with us through those dark times with those people who feel as though they are against us. We know that God is with us. If it continues, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And that imagery just gives us such a picture of abundance from God. God doesn't give us just enough. Our cup overflows. God gives us more than we need. God is with us always. It's just no wonder that this psalm is seen as such a comforting few verses for so many people. Again, it's only 6 verses, but it is so full of beautiful imagery of this loving God who is with us all the time, regardless of what is going on. God who is with everyone as they walk through those dark places, not just us. God is with, that's the crazy thing, those people that we perceive as our enemies, God is with them too. God loves them too. And it just depends on how we see our relationship with God. When we choose to follow God, when we choose to depend on God, then we recognize those blessings in our lives. We recognize all of the places that God is with us. We recognize that God is with us in community. God is with us through the sacraments. God is present everywhere. And we recognize that this is a precursor of the promises of the resurrection. That last verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. And again, this is another reason why it is read at funerals, because it talks of that eternal life with God. It talks about the promises that we have been given that mean we will spend eternity with God, wrapped in God's love and care and promises. And what more could we ask? And of course, there is, you know, a little more tongue-in-cheek, a little lighter, "Surely goodness and mercy." Sometimes people make the joke that it's three people, surely, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, goodness and mercy, following you the days of your life. Why are they following us? I'm really sorry if you've never heard that, and now I've ruined this psalm for you, but it does make me giggle a little bit when I think about it, although I don't always think about it when I read these. But surely, of course, it could say, "Of course, goodness and mercy," or "absolutely goodness and mercy," or what, however you want to say that. So it's not surely, but of course, definitely, absolutely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How can it not? How can they not, when we have this amazing relationship with God, when we have a God who loves us so much that God has spent all of eternity trying to be in relationship with us, trying to show us the love that we share with God through Christ, being with us, walking with us, being the shepherd that we need in our lives. And we are in, you're going to see tomorrow, in tomorrow's episode, the gospel will continue this image of a shepherd. Often this is called Good Shepherd Sunday, because it does you know, we do have these images of a shepherd in our readings. And again, like I said, we are going to see that in the gospel reading tomorrow from the book of John, from the Gospel of John. So that is all of the time that we have for today. We will continue these readings and the discussion of these readings tomorrow when we move on to the second reading, or the second New Testament reading, excuse me, from 1 Peter, as well as the gospel reading from the Gospel of John chapter 10. So I hope you'll join me for that tomorrow as we conclude this week's assigned texts for the fourth Sunday of Easter, May 7th, 2017. As a reminder, I just want you to know that you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any app that you use for a mobile device. You can follow us on social media, and I say this every time, but I really do mean it. I would love to hear from you. So find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, GSMC Bible Study. You can find us there. I would love to hear your comments, your thoughts, your ideas. Where do you see resurrection? What are your prayer requests? Anything like that, I would love to hear from you. So, as always, thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next time. In the meantime, keep your eye open for signs of new life and resurrection, and always remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.